You're listening to I Have Some Notes, a podcast supported by listeners like you. To contribute, visit patreon.com/IHaveSomeNotes. Liam, I've got a pitch for you. A sexy slasher movie.
Classic premise. What's the hook?
It is an A24 sexy slasher movie.
So?
That's it. That's the hook. A24 makes smart, artsy movies that elevate the horror genre.
Is this movie smart and artsy?
Well, A24 made it.
I have some notes. Welcome, everyone, to I Have Some Notes, the movie podcast with cuts, keeps, punch-ups, and tweaks on mediocre movies. I'm your host, Liam Creswick.
I'm Scott C. Bourgeois.
And I'm Greg Beaver.
And today, we are discussing X, the film. Yeah, the film from 2022, not
X, the man with X-ray eyes.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the...
Look, we opened this season with the brain that wouldn't die. People might have assumed. I'm just saying.
That's fair. I also was going to say, just we complain about the website formerly known as Twitter so often, we wouldn't put it past us to just do a whole episode complaining about it. I have some notes for X, all right? First of all, blue check marks. We got to make them special again.
I mean, it takes up so much oxygen. No, you could be forgiven that's... Yeah. What our episode is about. It is not, thankfully. No.
Talking about the Ty West written and directed feature film from A24 Studios, released March 18th, 2022. X. Yeah, and I mean, we ribbed them a little at the start of the episode here, A24 the studio, but one of the reasons we are engaging with this film is because they're also one of the few studios that were cool and immediately agreed to the various striking organizations' demands, so they are not struck work. So it's October, looking for some horror movies. A24 makes a lot of great horror movies and a lot of horror movies.
I appreciate that they are... I know we were kind of making fun of them off the top, saying, well, you know, they make artsy-fartsy horror movies. They elevate the genre somewhat. I kind of appreciate that, though. I like it when people take a genre seriously and aren't just using it as a cynical cash grab or aren't, like, being ironic about it. They're making a legitimate horror movie that has something to it, that has a little bit of meat on the bone, and that is trying to say something. And that I appreciate that every time they put one out.
Yeah, even when they don't succeed, that's sort of the goal, generally speaking. Yeah. Kudos to them. Keep up the good work, A24.
Yeah, and this one I feel like is just all the hallmarks of making a deep, more thoughtful horror movie are there. But once you think about it a little bit more, it's becomes a little bit emptier. Is that fair to say?
I was thinking about it. It's not a deep movie, but it's not a shallow movie. It's like a medium. It's like the part of the pool where it's slowly descending into the deep end.
You just go past the line and it's starting to get deeper, but you're not in the dive zone yet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's the start of the lane swim, but don't dive there. This was my first time with it. And I watched Pearl as well. How about you guys?
I didn't watch Pearl. It's interesting that you brought it up, though, because apparently from what I understand from doing just a little bit of digging around, Ty West actually wrote a trilogy, like all at once. He wrote X, Pearl, and Maxine, which is what with three X's, which is what the third movie is going to be called, all kind of as one contiguous story. And it makes me wonder if some of the stuff that feels missing from this movie is like part of the first movie or part of the third movie. Like maybe they're meant to be watched all at once. Hard to say. Cause I only watched X.
Sure. Greg, I think it was you said your second time watching X. Did you watch Pearl as well?
No, I did not end up watching Pearl, I'm afraid. But yeah, this was my second tour of duty with it.
Nice. Yeah, I think there's lots to like here. It was a entertaining movie. I watched it start to finish. I wasn't bored or frustrated by it. But there's very much room for improvement. I don't know if you guys felt that way, but this is like right in our wheelhouse, where this is a movie that is middle of the swimming pool. We can get it to the deep end. Yeah, I don't know. Do you have a similar experience with this one, or were you blown away? Because it was a very, very popular film. A lot of people really, especially film nerds, really, and critics, high praise for this one. Do you feel the same way?
I think that a lot of that praise came from the fact that it really does play with your expectations of how a slasher movie should work. And I do believe the movie succeeds in many ways in that regard. And I feel like because people were kind of going in just expecting a slasher movie, what they got was better than what they might get in the latest in the Friday the 13th franchise. And so like that to me is maybe why it shines as well as it does.
It passes a pretty low bar.
Exactly. The slasher genre
over
is
it
so
competently.
The slasher genre is so like bottom rung horror generally, that something that tries to do something better with it, I think maybe automatically just succeeds because you're giving us something new. You're giving us something exciting.
Yeah. I mean, it's really well made. You know, the cinematography and some of the decisions that are surrounding it, you know, keeping it bright and punchy, like a 70s movie, rather than what you'd usually see nowadays with a horror movie, which is sort of some sort of blue green color cast or whatever, right? And it also has some excellent performances, I think.
Stellar cast.
Like almost all the cast is wonderful, and the characters are interesting and fun, and although I kind of wanted to stay with almost all the characters except for Maxine, because she was kind of the one flat note for me, but yeah, like there was so much to like, and I think that in a lot of ways may create this kind of veneer that this movie is saying something more than it is, just because it is an enjoyable watch. Like that is undeniable.
I'm so glad to hear you say that, because I was starting to worry I didn't get something. I'm like, this movie seems like it's got subtext, it's got something to say, but I'm just like, I don't think it's all there. It's not as thought out and or committed to as perhaps, and then as soon as you were like, yeah, veneer, like maybe, and I'm like, oh, okay, good. I'm not missing something.
Well, and that kind of ties back to what I said off the top. I feel like maybe it is, but maybe it's something that's lacking because part of that is in the other two parts of the trilogy, right? Like maybe we're not getting the whole story, and somehow something's missing from this part
I'd love to speak to that a little later. I think we should do some
especially because this is the middle part of the story.
Yeah, I watched Pearl specifically for that. I'm glad I did. But let's get some of the nuts and bolts details out of the way. Of course, directed and written by Ty West of Innkeepers and The House of the Devil fame, starring Mia Goth as Maxine, Jenna Ortega as Lorraine, Brittany Snow as Bobby Lynn, Kid Cudi as Jackson, Martin Henderson as Wayne, and Owen Campbell as RJ.
Yeah, Mia Goth notably also double cast as Maxine and Pearl.
Yes, also plays Pearl in Pearl, and also Pearl in this movie some 80 years later. Someone's going to cry. Give or take a decade.
Yeah.
But let's go to the trailer.
Our days of struggling may soon be over.
Hollywood, here we come.
I just want me.
So this is it. Our own studio backlog.
I'm looking for a place to stay.
Oh, yes, sir.
That's one ugly son of a bitch.
And my wife, Pearl, is next door. So I would appreciate a little discretion.
I just want me.
He don't know what we're doing, does he?
Well, it's better to beg for forgiveness and ask for permission.
Would you like to come inside?
my supplies.
I want to be in the movie.
Well, you can't. The story can't just change midway through.
If Daddy catches us, there's no telling what he might do.
My wife is not well. It happens after dark.
You don't want to leave, do you?
People's eyes are gonna pop out of their damn skulls when they see this.
Maxine dreams of being a big movie star and has been practicing real hard on her cocaine habit. Her boyfriend Wayne and his film crew set out for a remote farm to shoot a porno. Nice. Upon arrival, they meet a strange, jerky-skinned caretaker who warns them to steer clear of his wife, Pearl, who frequently loses a marble or two. As the crew begins to secretly film their smut, Maxine wanders the farm and runs into Pearl. She admires Maxine's beauty and laments the loss of her own. She's also a bit of a horned dog who follows Maxine back to the porno set for a sneak peek. That night, RJ, the director, is stunned when his girlfriend, having watched people do mattress push-ups all day, decides she'd like to get railed on camera too. RJ has a crisis of insecurity and decides to leave, but runs into Pearl on the way out. Pearl is so horned up she propositions RJ, who immediately rejects her advances. Uh-oh, that was the wrong move, as Pearl responds with murder. From then on, the porno cast is picked off one by one by the husband-wife duo, who have some real hang-ups about sex, but also enjoy just a good random murder. Can Maxine escape to live out her dreams of stardom? Sure, why not?
On the subject of random murder, the one thing about this movie that made me laugh a little bit was the alligator. Because it's such a weird kind of thing to throw in there in this movie that is all about sex and sexual hangups and prudishness and you know, things like that. And then there's just like someone just gets ganked by an alligator. It's like, why is that happening?
It was kind of telegraphed. A lot of the deaths are telegraphed by lines earlier in the movie. Wayne mentions that people's eyes are going to pop out of their skull when they see the movie. Bobby Lynn mentions that she just wants to retire to, like, she just wants to float in the water. It's mentioned that RJ's favorite movie is Psycho and he gets stabbed repeatedly. Like, it's, they telegraph some of the murders earlier.
That's fun. That's a neat detail. Yeah. I didn't pick up on that. That's great.
Yeah. Now that you mention it, it gives me like an extra thing to appreciate about this movie. So, like, yeah, like I said, like there's lots of fun details, and you know that the opening shot I think might actually be one of my favorite opening shots of any movie.
It's just good.
I like you get this 4x3 image
aspect ratio,
idyllic farm, yeah, and you know, you get this sense of like, oh, nice. You just hear the cicadas chirping and stuff like that. And you're thinking like, oh yeah, nice farm. And then a police car pulls up and you're like, oh, something's amiss, right? And then we get a slow push in and you push past the shutters of the barn that you're in. And now you see that there are several cop cars. And now you realize that something tragic has happened.
Yeah.
And it's just, yeah, it's just a wonderful inventive shot. I loved it.
There's a lot of those, a lot of really just beautiful camera work, beautiful creative vision in that regard.
Yeah. A lot of those early establishing shots of the farm and stuff really gave me a lot of like Texas Chainsaw Massacre vibes too.
Mm. Yeah.
There's definitely homages in this film to other classic slasher movies.
I was getting the vibe, that kind of vibe from the old people makeup, which was not good.
I want to talk about Pearl, both the character and the movie. The movie Pearl does add a lot of world building context, and it adds some character motivation and context for Pearl the Killer's behavior. But if you're looking for filling in thematic gaps where you're like, oh, maybe pieces thematically are missing. No, unfortunately, it just gives world building and character motivation context. Sort of why she goes, like you said in the plot summary, RJ goes to escape. This old lady starts hitting on her, hitting on him, and he rejects her, and that kills him. That's more or less the plot of Pearl, is just like a very confused young woman who does not respond well to being made to feel weird, but the weirder that just makes her act weird, which makes people more scared until everyone just ends up on the end of her weapon. And then this is just that same deranged character, but at age 80, which you do have to commend this movie for. How often do you see a slasher movie with an octogenarian killer? Like,
yeah, I don't know. That was the part for me that was slightly off-putting because they're just old, but like they present as monsters.
Yeah.
The makeup is very weird. It's like, it's kind of like simultaneously like dry, but also juicy. Like it's just like, it doesn't look.
It looks like Johnny Knoxville, Bad Grandpa. Like,
yeah,
I got too much shit on me. I don't want to be around anymore. Like, it didn't. I'll say this, because Mia Goth plays Pearl in the first one, and I get that they're trying to imply a bit of a like cyclical nature, barely, yeah. And we'll get into that. I'll tell you a fix right off the top for free. They did not need to have Mia Goth in old makeup. They should have just cast an old woman. It doesn't add anything at all to have, you could just have, it's like, this is me when I was young, because there's pictures on the wall of Mia Goth as a young woman in the 30s, as Pearl as a young woman, I should say. And great, she plays Pearl in the first one, or in the movie Pearl. This is all well and good, but having her wear weird makeup instead of just hiring an old lady who looks like her, not only is the makeup ugly and distracting, but it also kind of robs some elderly actress the opportunity to be the killer in a slasher movie. Like, there's barely roles for old women in dramas, let alone slasher movies. So overall didn't like the makeup. Didn't need to happen.
I think you could probably also argue that in the setup, having them look, you know, just like a couple of old folks, may allow you to have the shock of them murdering people be a bit more heightened.
Fair, yeah.
Because they do immediately present like walking corpses. So you're immediately thinking like, well, these people are no good. Like, you're like, clearly these are the monsters, and that they're, you know, something's going to go awry with them somehow.
Yeah, I feel like the movie was trying to telegraph that on purpose. It wanted you to know something was wrong right away. It wanted you to be on edge. It wanted them to seem weird and off-putting.
I mean, it starts with the guy pointing a gun at the door.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. I mean, like, you can still do that without this awful makeup job.
I'm not saying taking
me out of the movie. Right. So
yeah, I'm not saying that I disagree with you. I think I understand what they were going for. I'm not necessarily saying it worked.
Fair enough,
I think that's going to be the recurring phrase of this episode. No. I get that they were trying to do that. I don't know that they got there, and we're going to always check ourselves. Be like, no, I understand that's what they were trying to do, and like the subtext is there, but it wasn't there enough. In just about every case. So let's acknowledge that now.
I think where that makeup job probably worked best maybe in the more heightened scene. Before we go any further, trigger warning, like, this movie is full of like sexual assault and things like that. So if that's something that's no good for you, then please feel free to stop listening now. But like that, like, because that there's that sort of like I don't know if I want to call it a rape scene between Pearl and
Maxine. Oh, yeah, she crawls into bed naked and gets handsy. I guess that is. I guess that is. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, I mean, like, I guess I shouldn't say
it's more weird and creepy. It's like, you don't want anyone. It's
not full of sexual assault, but it's certainly like there's lots of stuff kind of adjacent to it in the film, right? Like, Pearl forcing herself on DJ and or RJ rather, and things like that. But like in that moment, I think that makeup job kind of works because she truly is a monster in that moment. So it is really, really like it really makes you feel grossed out as you should in that moment. So. Yeah, I mean, I like you say, Scott. Like you can kind of understand a little bit what they're going for, but yeah. At the same time, I'm not entirely sure it was the best choice. Probably the biggest issue that we need to tackle is the movie's themes.
Yes,
I feel like there are a lot of them, and there are plenty of related themes, but at the end of the day, I'm left questioning and curious as to what the filmmaker was trying to say.
Trying about to it. Say what the point of it. This is from my notes, if I may. I wish the movie had more thematic signposts or like subtextual cairns, you know, like the piles of rocks to show the way you gotta go or to mark something, and just be like a little more clearly articulated or committed to. And that's not to confuse this movie's like medium depth subtext and those sort of like unclear themes, like you were saying. It's not one of those movies like Tar or Banshees of Inisherin where like you're meant to chew on it. It's not meant to be overt. And I just also don't want our listeners to think we're like idiots who need it spelled out for us. Like I think we all enjoy a movie where you got to work for some of the subtext. Or work for some of the thematic takeaways. This isn't that. It just doesn't have quite enough. Like it's truly half baked. The thematic signposts should have been clearer. Cause yeah, like what do you think the themes of this movie were? Cause I kind of went through a journey and I kind of mapped mine out as I was watching, but I'm curious what you guys took away from.
Well, I mean, obviously there's the theme of aging. Mm-hmm. And what you feel that you've lost when you've aged. There is the theme of sexual positivity versus sexual negativity.
Yeah, repression and yeah.
Yeah. And I guess there's the theme of ambition, which I think is probably like the least addressed theme of all. I mean, like there's a lot of characters that's show ambition.
That is really interesting because ambition is a huge part of Pearl, the movie Pearl.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I, sense. Based on what I've read about Maxine, the third one, that's also part of it. So that's an interesting pull. I didn't have that on my list of potential like the point of this movie's. But yeah, considering how like literally Pearl is about her being like, mama, I want to be in the pictures. Got to let me go to the city and try to be in the pictures. And her mom's like, no, stay on the farm. Be boring. Stay on the farm. And then. She goes apeshit. So interesting. Cool. I'd also say there was some about sort of like who, like the way men control women and their sexuality. Cause you've got, you know, the porno producer wrangling these people. You've got the farmhand, not the farmhand, the farm owner, Howard, I think his name is, kind of being like, stay away from my wife. She gets crazy if you get her riled up.
Getting bent out of shape when Lorraine decides she wants to be in the film.
Precisely. And then throughout the thing, you got the evangelical TV guy being like, oh, repent your sinful ways, evangelical television. So Scott, any others to add that you read into?
No, I don't think so. I think those are the major ones that I clocked, but I mean, there could be more,
but yet none of them really go like, I don't know that was truly the point of the movie. Like you said, Greg, like was this intentional? Like, this ain't no Babadook. this is not.
it's not a metaphor for something, right? Like, it's, yeah.
Yeah. But then also, as a slasher movie, it's also not like a brainless, like an Evil Dead, modern Evil Dead remake, where it's just like 2 hours of people getting their tongue cut by box cutters while it rains blood. Like, it's like the gore, the kills aren't really gory and over the top. They're pretty like pointedly fucked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, that was kind of my takeaway, was like, pick a lane, either be smarter or dumber. Like, it was.
Yeah. I mean, I think there was lots of really, interesting, decisions made by characters that really led into themes that like could have been explored deeper, but like they kind of, it was kind of ended up being a little bit shallow. Like Lorraine, the girlfriend who is just the audio grip.
Yeah.
You know, suddenly she wants to be in the film, and she goes from very quickly from being someone who seems to be the most prudish of the bunch to someone who's ready and willing to fully participate in a porno, which, you know, the stuff that it brings up, like the how it makes RJ feel. I felt like RJ's conversation with Wayne about giving him advice about what he should do, and where he was just like, hey, you're not going to stop her. Like, she wants to do this. You got to let her make her own decisions. Like, I actually felt like that was kind of the most interesting mm-hmm. conversation in the whole film. But it does blow by pretty quickly. You know,
and blow by is a lot of other, like, we keep using the phrase meat on the bones there. It leaves meat on the bones. It's not that it doesn't mm-hmm. have any, it's that it has it and then doesn't use it all up. It could have got way more out of those. And then especially considering a big part of Pearl's motivation that we learn in Pearl is that like, she's just like eager, like very eager and curious, and like wants to feel sexy and special and seen, and that doesn't really come through in her killer behavior as an 80-year-old. Like, it does a little bit when she,
that's a failing of a movie, though, I would argue.
Agreed.
Pearl
doesn't help. Like, it
from a movie that I quite enjoyed. Like, at the end of the day, I liked this movie. I had a fun time with it. But if you have to watch another movie to understand what's going on in your movie wasn't written well enough.
And like I said, watching Pearl doesn't really, it doesn't explain anything that like it doesn't give you anything you're missing. It just gives you a little more of that meat that just should have been eaten on the first, in the first movie.
On the first pass. Yeah. And I mean, having said what I just said, that if you mm-hmm. need to watch another movie to understand what's going on in this movie, you did the wrong movie. I do feel that there's enough clarity of her and Howard's motivations in this movie that you don't really need that. Like, I was not confused why she was murdering people in this movie. We'll put it that way. Like, she was a monster. She is a bad guy. She's committing murders. But I clocked what her motivation was. And I understood why she was making the decisions she was making, whether I agreed with them or not. Sure. So I don't feel the movie necessarily failed in that regard. But I do agree with you that, like, if you're telling a story, tell the whole story, right?
You know what it is? Because you're right, there's enough of it there that you clock what's going on. Her motivations are clear. And I think the missed opportunity is taking her motivations and foiling them against Maxine's motivations, which I think, and Greg said this off the top, Maxine was kind of one of the flattest characters, and she's, you know, on the poster. If Pearl is all about her and why she did these things and her motivations and her struggles, whatever, then this movie gets to be everything we see here checked against Maxine. So a lot of my fixes were about Pearl, but maybe the problem is actually Maxine.
I kind of agree with you, actually. And I think that you hit the nail on the head when you say that Pearl and Maxine are supposed to be foils.
Yeah.
But there's not enough Pearl reflected in Maxine in this movie.
That's what it is.
And you need to crank that up. You need to turn that right up to 10. You need to have them be mirror images of one another just at different points in their lives. And I think that's what they're going for. I believe wholeheartedly that's what they're going for. It's just they didn't quite get that. Like so much in this movie, they didn't quite get there. They didn't quite swim to the deep end.
they might have not given us quite enough of Pearl's history, as because we only really see like a few pictures real quickly, right?
Yeah, and get a little bit from her. Yeah,
did anyone else get the vibe that they were setting up something supernatural? Where these pictures of Pearl as a young woman are clearly the same actress as Maxine.
Oh, yeah.
And like, I mean, it's been a while since I've seen Hereditary, but isn't that kind of part of Hereditary? It's like it starts as this weird killer, but actually there is like intergenerational supernatural stuff happening.
At risk of spoiling a really great horror movie.
Sorry.
Yes, there is a supernatural bait and switch. Which is actually very well executed in Hereditary. So, apologize if we spoiled anything for anybody who hasn't seen a movie that's at this point, I think, 5 years old, but
I think older, but, there was, I sort of thought maybe that's where some of this stuff with the fact that it's like, why else would they have Mia Goth in a bad grandpa costume if it wasn't that? And then when it wasn't, I was kind of like, okay, well,
No, honestly, I never really clocked that there was going to be anything supernatural going on. It seemed very like mundane. It seems weird to say mundane considering
Texas Chainsaw Massacre versus
exactly more of like a nightmare. Like a text. Exactly. Yeah.
You know, what's funny is like, you only really know that Maxine it wants to be a big star because she repeatedly says it. None of the actions that she takes are really in that line. Like, she doesn't have, like, the only person that she kind of within the film crew that she has a conflict with is Lorraine. She just kind of like doesn't like her for, I think, almost unexplained reasons. And really that conflict only serves more to inform Lorraine's character.
Yeah.
In my opinion, than Maxine's. So like, you know, I guess like looking at this, if you're like let's make a dumb movie or whatever, and like the obvious thing to do would be to have Maxine conflict with Bobby Lynn, because Bobby Lynn seems like a more experienced actress, and that she would be competitive with her, so that we can get the sense of like how much she wants to be a star. Maybe she tries to submarine her scene or something like that, or whatever the case may be. But we don't even get a very simple thing like that. Her character kind of ends up being a flatline because she has to just spell out that I want to be a star several times.
I feel like, and this might be tiptoeing into fixes, but this kind of came to me while you were talking. I feel like maybe the way to fix that is to write her as more obviously ruthlessly ambitious. And I feel like that would be a good foil to Pearl as well. Like, really make it clear that she's using Wayne. Like, she's not in love with him. She's using him to get into the pictures. Yeah. Maybe do have a little bit of that competition with Bobby, and maybe even a little bit with Jackson as well, because he's also kind of better than her at this.
Yeah.
I feel like if you make it clear that she has conflicts with the rest of her cast that she doesn't in the movie as it is, then that makes her more villainous in a way, but you kind of want that if you want her to foil her, right?
And that, yeah, that could, that kind of would run parallel to, you know, that viciousness would run parallel to the viciousness that Pearl displays, right?
Exactly.
So if you're trying to make those characters mirrors of each other, then certainly that's a way that you can do it. Obviously, like Maxine's, the things that Maxine does are bad or aren't at the same level, but yeah.
It not only does it add that characterization to Maxine that we were saying helps foil Pearl the character, it also helps foil the Pearl the movie to X, to put him together. Like, you, and again, you shouldn't have to watch one to get the other, but Pearl would, if what you're describing was in X, I would have gotten more out of Pearl, because that is also a movie about a very ambitious Mia Goth.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and would have foiled them better in this film as well. So,
yeah, because you're right. As she's written in this movie, she's just too, like, flatly nice overall. And she only just repeatedly says that she's ambitious. But show that she's ambitious. Demonstrate that she's using these people to elevate herself. And that she doesn't really care about them.
I think it's a really actionable suggestion too, because I'm worried, like, anyone listening to this would be like, it's all in the movie. You guys are saying what's in the movie. If Ty West listened to this, he'd be like, yeah, that's what I was going for. You guys are saying, and again, it's all there. It's just not committed to hard enough. And so I like that we're coming up with, like, actual ways this could be implemented. And then to just saying,
tighten up the screws.
The movie was trying to say. Yeah. tighten up screws. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all put together. You just need to tighten it up.
That's a good analogy. Speaking of good analogies, I suspect we will have more when we go right into our fixes after a quick break.
In the warring mega towers of a cyberpunk dystopia, bored teenagers use their modified hoverboards to sneak into other dimensions. It's dangerous. It's stupid. It's completely outlawed by the giant corporations that own the entire world. And it's the coolest thing ever. This is Slug Blaster.
Brinley is going to use her beam like a grappling hook.
Scampion, foam jet right to the center of the disc.
A bunch of lightning just sort of crackles around him.
This is our chance to put our crew on the map.
Yeah, it pleases me to know that I have done well.
At the last possible moment, you fire.
Quantum Kickflip, a Slug Blaster actual play podcast. Listen to new episodes every other Wednesday.
Welcome back to I Have Some Notes. We're talking X. It's time to fix this thing. Tighten the screws, as we were saying a moment ago. I have a few quick small ones before I kind of get into the meat of it. Can I just bang these out off the top?
Yeah, go ahead.
Get the ball rolling. First of all, you just cut Mia Goth in the rubber suit. Get an old lady to do it. It was distracting, and it would be kind of cool to see an elderly woman as this generation's coolest slasher villain.
You can still have Mia Goth play young Pearl.
Oh, yes. Yes. Just don't have her play old Pearl. Have an old person play old Pearl.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I would also say the other thing I just want to cut, all the stuff with the TV preacher. I don't think it adds anything to the themes that this is trying to explore. And in fact, is almost like muddles the message. Because as soon as that started, because it's early on in the movie, the TV preacher being like, the sinners will repent for their sinful behavior. And I'm like, oh, is this going to hit like Red State notes? And it doesn't. It's more about age and about power and about sexuality than it is this sort of like Puritanism.
I disagree a little bit. Because the TV preacher, number one, they tie it in with Mia Goth's character, Maxine, at the end. But that's, and I suspect that is going to pay off in the third movie. But again, you're not telling the whole story if you're saving that for later. But it ties in that Puritan kind of evangelical, repent the sinner, sex is evil kind of thing does tie into the sexual repression.
But the thing is, I don't think there are themes of like church style or even like good taste, moral style, sexual repression in this movie. Like the whole reason Pearl can't get worked up and turned on is because she'll go into a killing spree. I really don't know. I got to disagree. I don't think any of the religious undertones add anything other than, you're right, I think it's going to play into Maxine, because guess what? Pearl's mom's stuffy old bitch. Don't go do that. Don't, you're a little sinner. But in this movie, I think it muddies. There's a more interesting conversation to have about sex, women, and aging if you take the religion out of it.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I would ask myself, like, what does Maxine being a preacher's daughter mean for her character?
Precisely.
And I don't have an answer for that.
Well, apparently you do if you watched Pearl. But again,
it doesn't add any context. It just adds the alligators in the first one too. It's not, there's not a theme of alligator carnage.
Solo? Is this like Solo, where they explain everything about the character in the first movie?
A little bit, yeah.
Her overalls.
Exactly. Guess what Mia Goth wears through as Pearl through the whole movie until the end when she's in a red dress. Overalls, just with a t-shirt, not tits out. But yeah, like I said, the alligators in the first one, there's not themes of alligator carnage. There's a stuffy old conservative person in the first one, but there's not themes of, like, her mom's behavior weirdly has nothing to do with her curmudgeon-iness, her behavior does, but like what Pearl's about isn't really about like repressing someone because of religious reasons. It's about repressing a clearly crazy, disturbed person from hurting more things. Okay. So it doesn't add anything to Pearl either. So yeah, it's more of just like a parallel than any kind of like significant detail.
Fair enough.
The alligator. So those were just my two cuts right off the top. I wanted to cut those things, but
oh, okay.
What do you guys got?
You know, I do like my earlier suggestion. I'm going to kind of circle back to it of making Maxine a little more villainous. To add depth to her character and to make her more clearly a mirror of Pearl. Like, just, she's Pearl but young, and Pearl is her but old. And one of the reasons I like that is because it subverts the usual final girl archetype. Because in this case, it's the bad girl is the final girl who survives, as opposed to usually it would be Lorraine. Lorraine is the archetypical final girl, right?
Yeah.
Because she's the one who's, like, Wayne even calls her church mouse, right?
Yeah.
So I like that the movie subverts the final girl by having Lorraine get killed already. I also like the subversion of the first person who is a victim is the one person who didn't have sex in the movie. Because usually in a slasher movie, the first people to get punished are the people who are having sex, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, there's stuff like that that's already there. And I just want to turn it up to 10 and making Maxine's character more full and more clearly self-interested and self-motivated, maybe even at the cost of the rest of the cast. I think that would work for this movie. I think that would make the movie more interesting.
Yeah, I've been racking my brain since I watched this a couple days ago, trying to figure out how better to end the relationship between Lorraine and Maxine. I mean, it does work. Like, Lorraine has this sexual experience that is something that Maxine already experiences, and she was reticent about the porn at first and then became accepting. And then when she gets locked up by Howard in the basement, she discovers that mutilated naked man. So I think what the movie's saying is that in her mind, Howard and Pearl are sexual deviants, and ergo Maxine and Wayne and all of them are also sexual deviants. So she kind of like flips back to being more of a like a pearl clutcher, pun intended, I guess.
Yeah.
And then that gets her killed, right? Because she doesn't trust Maxine when she lets her out. And then she gets ganked by Pearl. And I'm just like, it doesn't, none of that means anything for Maxine's character. And mm-hmm. I just like, and like, I'm more or less putting this out here, out there, just to see if either of you have any ideas about how that relationship could work better. Because like I said, like Maxine can, for me, is mostly a flat line and it seems like the more interesting characters are orbiting around her.
Yeah, I came into this with some more notes on how to make Pearl a more interesting villain. But I think in talking to you guys in the first half, I think whatever the problem comes down to, it's Maxine. I think she's the weak link in this script in just about every scenario, and everything Scott was saying, everything you're saying now. So I don't have any solutions because I was turning the wrong screw in my work on this beforehand. I think it's Maxine needs a rework.
I may have the beginning of an idea for how to fix that. Because if we take my suggestion and ramp up Maxine's self-interest and her kind of villainy, her pseudo-villainy, I think as we build to the climaxes, it's down to Lorraine and Maxine versus Howard and Pearl. They're the only people left alive on the farm. Maxine should do something that results in Lorraine dying. She should basically step over Lorraine to survive. And I think that would really cement like her, that would be the apex of her ruthless ambition in the movie. Is her making the conscious choice to sacrifice Lorraine to save her own life. Mm-hmm. And I think that could be an interesting like climactic moment.
Yeah.
I'm not certain exactly how, like I'd have to like pick apart step by step the whole choreography of that final like encounter with them. But I feel like if Maxine makes a conscious decision, I'm going to live and I don't care if Lorraine does, and that's well telegraphed, that really shows just how much she is like Pearl.
Like precisely. I will not have the life I don't deserve or whatever. I will not settle for a life I don't deserve, right?
This is why I really enjoyed this podcast, because now this presents this really interesting question of like, what does it say if we do what Scott's suggesting versus what the movie said? Because in the movie proper, her being afraid of Maxine and then going out and getting shot, so her prudishness gets her killed. And by and large, the movie, I think, has a fairly sex positive message. Uh-huh. So, but if we change that to Maxine being villainous and stepping over, as you say, Scott, Lorraine to escape, then does that say that Lorraine was correct, that these people are not to be trusted, and that their sexual proclivities are by association are also wrong or something like that, right? Like it's like I'm not suggesting that like that's what you were thinking about when you were I just think it presents this really interesting choice to make if you were rewriting this script.
I don't think that it necessarily does though, because Maxine is very clearly being framed as the person who's got that ruthless streak, who's got that ambition. And it's divorced from the sex thing because the rest of the porn actors are still being framed as good people. Bobby goes to help the old lady very selflessly. Jackson goes to help look for her very selflessly. Like they're all very helpful and friendly. It's Maxine who's the outlier.
And so then I think all it comes down to is Lorraine learns this lesson too late. She was lumping them all in together, could have maybe even has opportunities to be saved or to be rescued literally or figuratively by these other, smut peddlers when really they're all heart of gold. And it's just the Maxine Pearl crazy person you have to look out for. It's not a judgment of moral character. It's just one or two nutbags.
Yeah, even Wayne in the movie is kind of a nice guy overall.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Like, oh,
yeah.
And it would have been real easy to frame him as just an absolute creep, but the rest of the cast is actually pretty likable overall. So if Maxine is very clearly the outlier, kind of a troublemaker in the cast, stirring things up, she's got her own ambitions, she's very selfish, and that follows through. And then when the reveal comes of what Pearl's real motivation is, what the relationship with her and Howard is about, you really get that stark, like, oh, they're like Pearl and Maxine are mirrors of each other.
They're just at different points in their life. They're not basically dangerous separately, but you get them together and now they're both going to be their worst selves.
Exactly. Incredible. Stirring things up. Yeah. And the rest of the cast ends up getting killed off. And like, that's all happening away from Maxine for most of the movie. But then at the end of the movie, she has an opportunity to save herself and Lorraine. And she makes the choice to leave Lorraine behind.
Right.
And that causes Lorraine to get killed. And I think that firmly demonstrates the kind of character I think the movie wants us to know that Maxine is and doesn't.
Dig it. Yeah, I think we've found that loose screw. I think, like we said, it was Maxine.
Yeah, that was fun. I think what's interesting about this film is. Oh, sorry. Go. I was just gonna say, like, what's interesting about this, having gone through all the, like, the processes of like of coming up with our fixes and things like that, is that at the moment, anyway, we're kind of in like in this nebulous space where like the story that I think Ty West was wanting to tell is not completed yet. So it's going to be really interesting, you know, if we have to come back to this film one day on the show and just be like, well, here's what we said, but this is how things actually played out. Because if his idea was to like basically create a three act story, but like release it out of order, I think that's really interesting. And
it's
fun.
A cool track.
And like, if, yeah. Yeah. And if the last movie like really ties everything together, that would be really cool. So I'm interested to see what happens in the long run.
Basically, Ty West, what we're saying is we're willing to eat crow on this one. If you knock it out of the park with that third movie.
I'm willing to eat crow on just about every episode, to be honest.
Yeah, I'd love to be wrong. Especially because what I think Maxine the movie is about is her trying to make it in Los Angeles. So if you end X with her being a ruthless bitch going into a movie about her trying to make it in Hollywood or like porno Hollywood, that tees it up nicely. I do have some more thoughts on making Pearl better, because that was at the time of working on this what I thought the problem was, and I still think they're relevant and I'd like to share them. Sure. If you'll indulge me. I want to take the movie Pearl doesn't really add a lot of thematic or subtextual context. It just adds world building and some neat details and some character motive. It does add motivation, character motivation. It just doesn't add theme and subtext. That being said, it did have the movie Pearl has two really scary scenes that overall, I don't think this movie is like scary. Like, it's a horror movie and there's like some horrifying kills. There's some suspenseful moments, like when the crocodile or the alligators, you're not sure if it's going to bite her or not. There's some tense moments for sure, but there were two very good scenes in Pearl that I want to take the energy from and put into this movie. So in the movie Pearl, she is clearly got some like sociopathic behaviors where she like hurts animals and she's like just kind of a weird, isolated farm girl, but also knows that there's probably something wrong with her, that there's probably some personality aspect that she's lacking. And it creates two very horrifying scenes where she's talking to a character. She's being really bubbly and sweet. The whole point of Pearl is it's kind of got Wizard of Oz vibes. Like, she's doing a bit of a Dorothy thing. And so she's being all sweet and cute and farm girl. And then she says or does something kind of fucked up. And the person she's talking to goes cold. And then she reads that and she's like, well, what'd I do wrong? Well, why'd you go cold on me? I told you that there's part of me that I don't can't control and that I'm not entirely sure I'm okay. And now you're giving me that feedback. And they're like, no, it's fine. It's fine. I do have to go though. I got to go. And she's like, what do you mean you got to go? And it's very anxiety inducing because the person keeps digging themselves deeper by being afraid and pointing out how weird and creepy she's being. It just makes her get more weird and creepy. And they do it twice really effectively. And I think it would improve Pearl the Killer in this movie as well. So my pitch was just something as simple as, like, instead of the creepy scene where she crawls into bed with Maxine and gets all touchy and weird, sexually assaults her essentially, I would just cut that and instead the scene where she's peeking in through the window, watching the porn and like grinning menacingly, like, ooh, I'm watching it. I think she should crash the set. I think she should like try to actually kind of in the same way she like pushes herself on RJ. I think she should either crash the set with a shoot in progress, or she should like steal the camera equipment and try to set it up herself and like maybe lure RJ, be like, come fuck. Like, I want to be in, like, cause there's the whole thing about Lorraine wanting to be in the movie and then Pearl being like, I want to be in the movie. I think it would just like made the scene where RJ dies and or where she crawls into bed with Maxine creepier if she was a little bit more like, well, why can't I be in the movie? Do you think I'm ugly? Do you think wait, why are you leaving? What do you mean I can't be in the pit? Especially because Pearl in the film Pearl wants to be in the movies. That's her whole motivation. She wants to be a dancing girl, right, in the pictures. So I don't know why this killer doesn't state out like, please put me in your movie. And then have those same conversations like she does. It kind of happens with RJ in front of the headlights. But the like, what do you mean you don't want to have sex with me? You have sex with all those other girls. It's because I'm old and ugly, isn't it? And then like he just keeps digging himself deep. I just wanted to see that. And I think it would make Pearl a little more menacing without having to like explain her motivations history.
I think that taking that, you could also do a double of that in this movie because she has lemonade with Maxine at some point.
Yeah.
In a scene that Maxine is clearly uncomfortable in and wants to get out of. And you could have a similar conversation where she says she's talking all nice to Maxine and then she says something kind of messed up and Maxine gets cold on her and she like starts like pressing like, what did I say? What went wrong? And that's just making her more creepy and Maxine just wants to get out faster and faster. And that could be one of the things that triggers her and sets her off, right?
Sure.
Because we even talked about this before, putting Maxine and Pearl together, two similar personalities, mirrors of each other, it brings out their worst selves, right?
You know, maybe it is. She does that with any character but Maxine. And it's the like, what do you mean? What do you mean? And it goes bad. But when she meets Maxine, because they're foils of each other, they're kind of the same person, Maxine actually does the smart thing and like weirdly encourages her. Like she takes the wrong, like she doesn't flat out encourage her, yeah, come be in our porno, but like says something that Pearl internalizes as praise or a compliment or encouragement.
Which makes Pearl start stalking her.
Yeah. Start stalking her, getting creepy. Or just like kicks off her rampage because she's been told she's allowed. And foils Maxine, like Maxine gets it because Maxine's just as fucked as she is. Yeah.
Yeah. There's definitely two ways you could run that. Yeah. I like that. But
also, for what it's worth, I think Pearl is the slightly better of the two movies.
Really?
It by a very narrow margin. But if I had to watch either of them again, I'd watch Pearl a second time because Mia Goff's performance is awesome. She is so fun to watch as this like plucky, like, you know, a girl on the flower box, like pigtails farm girl, like singing songs, wants to be in the pictures, mama. I want to be in the pictures. And then is also like has this like unhinged twinge to her eye. And there's just a couple really good scenes. I mean, any internet Googling about Pearl reveals there's like two or three very, very remarkable scenes where she is very creepy and weird in a way that, you know, like the way everyone gets all excited for Anthony Hopkins as Hannibal Lecter. Like she plays a hell of a crazy person.
It's funny because like her features are almost built to be kind of like this sort of like likable yet off-putting person, because she has like these incredibly fine eyebrows and the camera has trouble picking them up. So sometimes it just reads that she doesn't have eyebrows, and mm-hmm. Several times during my watching of X, I'm just like, ah, just like no eyebrows.
She's an easy person to make look creepy. Mm-hmm. Weirdly, I do think the eyebrow thing was a choice, because she didn't have the same sort of absent eyebrows in Pearl. She's got full.
Oh, really?
You know, women paint eyebrows on all the time. So
for sure, yeah.
I don't know what her natural eyebrow state is, but I think they were minimized for X and maximized for Pearl. Like, I think it was a part of a costume choice, her
fair
lack
enough,
of eyebrows. Well, we have some listener comments as well. Thank you to everyone named Tack who commented. We always appreciate it. We might have put out the call for this one a little late, but we do encourage you to follow us on all our social medias or come join the Discord. We want you to chime in when we announce we're doing a movie, like our pal Tack did here. Tack says, I don't know what to advise here. I was kind of starting to expect it was going to subvert my expectation and the violence would come from the infighting instead.
What infighting, Tack? there's not really much of it. There's a little bit with RJ and Lorraine when their relationship gets strained towards the end, but overall the cast is very likable, which again I think circles back to that's why we need Maxine to be the odd one out.
I think when he says subvert my expectation, maybe had a similar experience I did, where as you're watching it, you think it's going somewhere. And then not quite. Like, I see the television preachers on the TV. I think we're going to get Red State themes. Not quite. We're shooting a porno with a bunch of curmudgeon-y old people who aren't sexy anymore. Themes about power and sexuality? Not quite. We're going to maybe a supernatural thing? Not quite. Is this maybe just a splattery Evil Dead gore fest? Not quite. So the movie kind of primes your expectation and then doesn't subvert them, but almost lets them down. Maybe, and then when you're done, you're kind of like, well, that was good. It was entertaining, but what was the point? Sort of the experience I think we all had.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Maybe that is where Tack's coming from. Sure.
I think there is a reasonable amount of infighting. It's not necessarily super overt, and partly because some of it just doesn't go anywhere. Like Bobby Lynn throws her cum rag at Lorraine, right? At one point, just like, you know, things like that, where it's just like there's some little lilts of conflicts between them, but they don't really develop it.
Yeah, there's a Bobby Lynn does have a little bit of passive aggressiveness in the movie, but it doesn't really go anywhere. You're right.
Speaking of Bobby Lynn, what did you guys think of the landslide cover?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was great. I like that part of the film, actually.
What do you think? Why do you think it was there? Because I thought it was a fairly engaging musical beat in the middle of this horror movie as well. It's a classic pop song. Mm-hmm. They do a good job singing it. Thematically, why do you think that was included? Because that I couldn't parse.
I would have to think about what the lyrics were. I was just kind of like enjoying her voice and I wasn't really paying attention to like the lyrics and if they had anything to do with what was happening or going to happen.
Well, I've been afraid of changing because I've built my life around you, but time makes you bolder. Even children get older and I'm getting older too. Is it just...
It ties into the themes of aging, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right. I was hoping there was maybe more there, but also you're all welcome that I didn't sing it. I just quickly Googled it and said them in slight rhythm. But yes, Tack was also our only listener comment. So thank you to Tack, and thank you to everyone else who enjoyed this movie and had no thoughts.
Yeah, come join the Discord, and then you get kind of like generally a bit of an early heads up on things like calling for notes and stuff.
Except when Greg has a bad mental health week and he forgets to do it.
Whoopsie poopsie.
Yeah.
Sort of snuck up on me too. I saw you post and it's like, oh yeah, we're doing that tomorrow. I probably should have said something Monday.
Yeah, you posted that and I was like, oh yeah, we're doing that tomorrow. I should watch that movie.
Well, now that we've established that we're all professionals, let's wrap things up.
Indeed. Oh, Greg, professionals get paid for what they're doing.
Oh, damn it.
No, we're in it for the love of the game, and we love it when you come play this game with us. Please follow us on any of our social media things. They're all on the link tree on our social media. You know, find us on social media. There's links to the other ones, or just go right to ihavesomenotes.com. All the links are up there. Obviously, we're Facebook, Instagram. We're on Blue Sky. But really, the party is over on our Discord. It's free to join. You don't have to be a patron subscriber to get in on it. We love talking to you. We've got some former guests who chime in from time to time. We got some really enthusiastic commenters. Really, please, we'd love to see you in the Discord. And wherever it is you're listening to this episode, please subscribe, rate, or review on your podcast app.
Yeah, you know, I mentioned we don't get paid to do this, but we sure would like to be. So if you want to throw us a couple bucks every month, you can head over to our Patreon, patreon.com/ihavesomenotes right now. We appreciate all of our patrons, and we would like to include you on that list.
And as we are still working in solidarity with the striking actors, in 2 weeks, we'll be creating a modern remake of The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari. From 1920.
Fun times. Yeah,
the Brain That Wouldn't Die was a lot of fun. I'm excited to do the remake thing again. I think that's the perfect twist on our format.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it will be a permanent feature even after
we can finally do Ant-Man Quantumania like we promised we were going to do for this season.
That would be something we should have discussed off air. All right, let's sign up.
Until then, I'm your host, Liam.
I'm Scott C. Bourgeois.
I'm Greg Beaver. Keep watching this guy.